News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
With me is Frank Connolly, investigative journalist and writer and former head of communications with SIPTU, to have a look at some of the stories that you may not have seen and to give some analysis on those, on some of those that you have. Let's start with what we were talking to John Fitzgerald earlier on about, Frank, which is the Minister for Public Expenditures expected to tell a cabinet meeting today that there is a risk of stagnation, or rather stagflation, if there is a prolonged conflict in the Middle East.
Yeah, well, Jack Chambers is Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform. He's talking about stagflation. This is where economic growth stays behind, higher inflation as a result of the conflict, or a potentially prolonged conflict in the Middle East. Well, this, I suppose, should be put in some context. He's arguing that there needs to be stronger controls in government departments. There needs to be investment in current expenditure, capital infrastructure, housing, roads, energy and water, which I suppose we all know. But the key issue here is that there seems to be no reference, at least in these reports, to the cost of living crisis and the problems of low incomes. The fact that huge numbers of workers across the country are now really suffering from what is already happening with inflation in food. In housing,
well, is
costs
that not
and rent.
Answered theoretically by the argument that says we have to keep this powder dry to be able to respond in winter?
Yeah, and I think that again should be put in some context. I mean, the annual spend now in this country, as you know, is over 130 billion. This is expenditure. This is 10 times more than it was 10, 15 years ago. And of that, about 30 billion is coming in from a very small number of multinationals, which is like a cushion. So rightly, this overdependence on a small number of companies, all of the issues that are associated with that, and also the failure, even with the spending that goes into health and housing, that it doesn't deliver the optimum outcomes. So I think we just have to wait and see. To me, it's a very predictable set of ideas that are coming out of the government. And of course, nobody knows what's going to happen in the 6 months to come. But what is going to happen is there's going to be a lot more anger, especially after what happened with the fuel protests, which rewarded a very small sector of the population who were being hit by higher costs, rather than the rest of the people out there.
The story that I want to get your view on, because I think it is one that you have been personally following, the Irish Independent today reporting and picturing an empty site. It looks like land that is being prepared for a house. In actual fact, it's land that until recently had a house. The demolition of the 5-bed home built without planning permission in County Meath is now complete. It's gone.
Yeah, I mean, again, this story has been pushed out there over the last number of months since the couple, the Murrays, were told to vacate their home back in March. They built it. They started building over 20 years ago, and they were, you know, stupidly went ahead without planning permission. Then built an extension to the house on a number of occasions. But I was at the Court of Criminal Appeal when this was brought up late last year. The solicitor for the Murrays argued that this case should have really been stopped at an earlier stage when the couple breached the Planning Act. It's a criminal offence to build a property and then to breach planning permission and then to ignore. And I think there's questions have to be asked. One, why this wasn't stopped by the council and indeed why the guards weren't informed. And secondly, their appeal to the local authority to give the estate to charity, or to give the property to charity, rather than to knock it down, went on deaf ears, despite with a lot of the local community supporting this family.
It's an interesting argument, though, isn't it, to say, in essence, it is partially your culpability because you failed to prevent me doing the illegal thing that I was doing quickly enough.
Well, what's absurd about that is the how people would continue to do it in breach of every law that was going down. But also, that land was sterilised. And that is the reason why they weren't allowed to build as they did on the property. But I think the question is, why were they not fully aware that the land was sterilised when they bought it in the first place? There's all sorts of questions that need to be asked there. I wouldn't go into the detail much more than that.
In one of the weirder stories to be reported on today, there are problems with the brains of salmon thanks to high cocaine intake. These are juvenile salmon who have significant narcotics problems.
Yeah, well, this is a report. It's in The Guardian today. Cocaine pollution in rivers and lakes disrupting the behaviour of salmon. What's happening is that, as we know in this country, the sewage testing of our sewage work shows there's a vast amount of cocaine and other illicit drugs in the system and allowed to move into waterways. And fish, in this case, as a result of a study by the Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences, are showing that salmon are particularly prone and are actually artificially exposed to the drug, which is making them swim further and disperse more widely across a lake when this testing was done. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that people who tend to take cocaine, they do tend to disperse themselves more widely and go further around the place at night time. But the point here is, and in an Irish context, it's a bit more nuanced, because the problem we have is that our salmon are not getting to Ireland. They're being fished, overfished way out in the Atlantic by massive trawlers. But in this case, they're very worried that traces of cocaine, methamphetamines, antidepressants, and other drugs are being found in the...
Isn't it extraordinary that the Western world has such a drug problem that it can be not only found in significant measures in wastewater, but that it is in high enough concentration that it affects the behaviour and development of the wildlife in the waterways?
Well, and this is all about, our sustainability and our failure to protect our natural environment. And it's shocking, actually.
Last one before you go. The National Archives, and this I think is getting a lot of attention, particularly measured by the 20 million hits on the National Archives website after they released the 1926 census at the weekend. Was there anything in it that particularly caught your attention, Frank?
Yeah, well, I mean, we knew from the weekend that there was something like a million downloads since the census data was released. And they're now showing, the early findings are showing that a lot of that something like 20 million hits, largely from outside the country, from the UK, the US, Australia and Canada. Google has been overwhelmed, spiked by 120% with searches for census 1926. The Orla McBride, who's the director of the National Archives, said at least we expected a spike and we anticipated it. We expect that we'll be able to cope with this traffic and that the further features will be rolled out to allow for people to get the data. 35 million pieces of data relating to 3 million people, which was the population at the time. The population, she said, in the findings, is that over half the people at the time worked in agricultural occupations. That completely dominated the labour market in 1926. The population was falling. But you'd be glad to hear 97% of the people were born here and 93% were Catholic or Roman Catholic. Things have changed since then.
Frank, thank you very much. That is Frank Connolly, investigative journalist and writer and former head of communications with SIP2.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.